Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. Yeah, I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Hi, everybody. Welcome again to the Unconquered Podcast here on Seminole Sports Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Jason Staples. This podcast is sponsored by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. If you have any real estate needs, make sure you go through Luis in the greater Jacksonville area. Trained photographer, videographer, true pro. Make sure that you get him to give you the best online presence possible. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. Definitely help out a lot. Also, make sure if you've been enjoying this podcast, this is the Advent Christmas season, also the season of Hanukkah. This is the time to give your five-star reviews on iTunes, particularly, even if that's not where you listen on iTunes, it helps. On iTunes, through whatever other podcast manager you use, definitely do that. Those are very much appreciated. Let's see if we can get to 500 before the new year. That would also definitely be massive. All right. Well, we've got a big show. A lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff the last few days has happened. I guess one other thing. Also, don't forget to go to the Unconquered shop, adding one more design today. So pretty excited about that one. Definitely the best one we put together so far. Definitely have some other stuff coming here over the holiday. We wanted to get some stuff up before Christmas, but looks like most stuff is going to have to go between now and the end of January. But we're going to have some really good stuff coming up there. My designer actually got sick, so we had to delay that a little bit. But a lot of stuff coming. Very excited to see some of the stuff that we've got in the pipeline for that as well. So don't forget to stop by the Unconquered shop. All right. Well, man, a lot of stuff has happened over the last few days. This is a good time to be doing a Florida State podcast. I can say that because there's stuff to discuss basically every day. And I can't do that yet. I don't have quite the income from doing this stuff to be able to focus that much on this, but wow, a lot of stuff. So let's go ahead and get to it. First things first, yesterday was the bloodletting in terms of the coaching staff at Florida State. Every assistant coach remaining on the staff was dismissed yesterday. Let know that their services were no longer needed, with one exception, and that is, as we previously discussed, Odell Higgins will be kept on staff as the defensive line coach. Odell comes with the furniture. When you're a new head coach at Florida State, Odell comes with the furniture, and he's included in the transaction. You don't get rid of that guy. He will continue to be the defensive line coach at Florida State as well. He should, but that means that, in addition to Charles Kelly, who has already gotten another defensive coordinator job, Randy Sanders, who will be a head coach, and then Brewster and Graham, who went with Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M, Rick Trickett was retiring. Then Miller was also retiring after this year. So what that means is Brad Lawing and Lawrence Dossie have been notified that their services will not be retained as on-field coaches at Florida State from here on. I don't expect Lawing to have a continued role in the athletic department. I do expect, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dossie get reassigned to stay within the athletic department or the program somewhere, but we'll see what happens with that. But as much as that says, everybody else was dismissed except for Odell, well, that's actually really two guys that weren't already retiring or already had taken a job. So that is, like I said, Lawing and Dossie are now no longer going to be coaching at Florida State. Now, I've been on the record in the past when Jimbo was coach, going back to, 2014, 2015, you had people, especially after 2015, wanting Dossie fired. I've been on the record at different points that I cautioned, listen, don't fire a good coach. And Dossie was a good coach, not an elite one. I've been very clear on that from the start. He's not a great coach, but he's a good wide receivers coach, and he did a good job of developing the talent they had on the roster at different points. Guys that didn't have NFL tools that have wound up getting on the field in the NFL, partly because they had good training at Florida State. But my caution was, be careful. You don't just make changes for the sake of changes. You only go and you eliminate these guys when you know you've got a good replacement, one that is an upgrade. Yeah, you could get a lot worse than Lawrence Dossie. He's a good coach. He's a passable recruiter, you know, an average recruiter. You want to make sure if you're replacing that guy that you get a better recruiter. Yeah, that's not as hard. You can get a good recruiter, and that's going to be above an average recruiter. But you better get someone who's a good coach or better. And that's not always easy at the receiver position. Well, it looks like, thanks to, and especially with Jimbo, that was going to be a little bit harder in terms of relationships and all that. Didn't have as many in that department. Now, it was possible that this year, and I was very clear that this year, because of recruiting and all that, it was inevitable that they needed to replace Dossie because of the narratives that had developed there. I don't want to cover old ground there. But in any case, things definitely look like they're going to be better at that position in both respects, because there is every reason to expect Ron Dugans, former Florida State wide receiver himself, to come to Florida State now. Now, Dugans would not have come to Florida State, I don't think, to join Jimbo Fisher. But he has a strong relationship with Willie Taggart, and going back many years, those guys have been close for many years, and they're, you know, so it's not just a Florida State and Tallahassee being home tie. This is also there being some ties here in terms of the coaches themselves and their relationship. Well, if you can get Ron Dugans to come on, and it looks like Willie Taggart has been able to do that. Yesterday, Taggart flew to Miami after the press conference and met with Ron Dugans to recruit him to Florida State. Well, if you can get Ron Dugans is an upgrade on Lawrence Dossie, because now instead of an average recruiter and a good coach, you have a heavyweight recruiter at that position and a good to very good, I would say very good coach. So that is an upgrade potentially in both sides of the equation, but definitely on the recruiting side, and it's not a loss on the coaching side. I think, if anything, Dugans will be harder on his wide receiver group. That's something, you know, too much was let slide at different points at wide receiver at Florida State. You know, the actual coaching in terms of technique and all that was fine. It was functionally proper. It was good. But at times, accountability and all that wasn't there. In terms of, you know, they let some stuff slide and they were not hard enough on the wide receivers. Well, with Dugans, I think that'll change a little bit. And so I think that's another upgrade. I think, again, there was no guarantee that they were going to get an upgrade on Dossie under Jimbo Fisher. Most likely the upgrade for this last year, when they were going to make those staff changes and Dossie again was not going to be retained under Fisher, would have been James Coley, who, by the way, wound up not going to College Station with Jimbo. He was planning on coming to Florida State, but College Station's a different world. It's like an alien planet if you are a Cuban-American from Miami. It's not going to work, but I digress. But there was no guarantee that under Fisher they'd have gotten an upgrade, but Taggart just did. That's a big deal. So that's another heavyweight recruiter that you can expect on the Florida State staff. No, it's not everything is not a done deal at this point, but I'm comfortable saying that I expect Ron Dugans to be on the Florida State staff at this point. A couple other things. The defensive coordinator hire. Now, last podcast, I mentioned three names that I knew that Willie Taggart had discussions with or had talked to. One was Bob Diaco, the former Notre Dame coordinator, the coordinator at Nebraska last year. Another was Travaris Robinson, the South Carolina defensive coordinator under Will Muschamp. And another was a big name that I couldn't mention at the time because there was a real chance that Florida State could get that. And because of the sensitivity of the situation, I was gagged by my source, was not allowed to to say anything in terms of who that would be. Well, as it turns out, that big fish, that particular option, decided to stay at Georgia. That big name was Mel Tucker, who again was seriously considering the job. Had was a situation where he was discussing the situation with his spouse. There was actually another defensive backs coach that he would have likely brought with him from another school as well. That defensive backs coach still wants in, by the way. Either way, I don't think that will necessarily happen at this point, depending on who the next coach is. But the attraction was that Tucker is calling a defense under Kirby Smart, and that's really Kirby's defense. But Tucker would have been able to call his own defense. Would have been a similar situation to Coley leaving Florida State for Miami a few years back. But it turned out that ultimately Tucker decided that the great situation that he's got going up at Georgia wasn't worth leaving for Florida State. So I can now mention that. So that one's not going to happen. Would have been definitely would have been a major coup for Willie Taggart to pull him from Georgia, but not going to happen anymore. So now I can actually mention that name. But the board has expanded beyond those that I mentioned. So Bob Diaco, actually, I don't think seems very likely at this point. Like I said, there had been contact. That didn't mean that he was going to get the job, but seems pretty unlikely at this point. Travaris Robinson still is high on the list, from what I'm told. He's definitely more under consideration. Another name that has surfaced and that has been on the board, has been mentioned previously, but now there has actually been contact, is Jim Leonard, the Wisconsin coordinator who worked under Wilcox, who's now the head coach at Wisconsin, played multiple years in the NFL, young, energetic guy. He's a real possibility. Now, he's a Wisconsin guy. He played at Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin. You know, he's a Midwestern guy, so there's a little bit of a question in terms of recruiting and how that'll fit. But I have little doubt that the guy would be able to step in and be a very good coordinator at Florida State if he's the hire. But there have been some other inquiries. I'm told that there have been, quote-unquote, others that have come up through Taggart's agent, Jimmy Sexton. This is one reason why having a head coach with an agent like Jimmy Sexton is useful, because you can get contact with lots of coaches through that agent without it being an issue. There's nobody else that's needed to serve as an intermediary there. But like I said, there's been some inquiries from some big names. Once again, Jim Moore Jr. was interested in the job previously, but ultimately Taggart was less interested in giving him the job than Moore was in getting the job. I'm told Mike Stoops, the Oklahoma coordinator, who was a co-defensive coordinator with Brent Venables for a number of years, is interested in the job. Do I expect Mike Stoops to be the coordinator? No. But again, that goes to show how many coaches are interested in this kind of job. Taggart has his choice of he's going to be able to choose the guy that he thinks is going to fit best with him out of a group of quality names. But Mike Stoops was interested in the job, still is interested in the job. But again, like I said, do I expect that to happen? No. Just say that as those two names are big names that have inquired about this defensive coordinator position. I think there's some reason now as well to think that Alex Grinch is another name that has been another guy that with whom there has been some contact, though I haven't gotten that confirmed. So that's me filling in some gaps based on what I've heard. So again, I think there's probably been some contact there. There've been, like I said, the board has expanded a little bit. I don't know all the people with whom Taggart has had contact at this point, but I do know that I know what I've said so far, and I also know that you should not expect Scott Schaefer, the former Syracuse coach, to be one of the contacts. I think part of that is I don't expect Taggart to want to run a quarter system. All the names that he's shown some interest in have some commonality there, and I got this confirmed from another source in terms of what Taggart's looking for in a coordinator. They want someone who can be very multiple on defense, who's going to be able to run both even and odd fronts and be very aggressive. So that that's what you've got there. And they're, and it's not going to be somebody who's, you know, a base quarters kind of system, you know, like Scott Schaefer. So either way, I have a lot of confidence that this defensive coordinator hire is going to be very good. And they're he's really trying to get this hammered out and done by the new year, so that after the bowl game, they're ready to hit the ground running with a new staff, with a new defensive coordinator, and ready to roll. Now, also have some other news. Those of you who are regular listeners here will remember that I'd addressed previously the name Greg Fry, the current Michigan tackles tight ends coach, who's also their run game coordinator. And I expressed at that time some skepticism that he would be willing to make the move from Michigan to Florida State. Now, I know he is a 1996 Florida State alum, played in a 93 national title team under Coach Bowden. So Fry, in a lot of ways, is a natural candidate, but I wasn't quite sure that he was going to be willing to make the leap. As of right now, I expect Greg Fry to be the offensive line hire and have at least a run game coordinator title at Florida State. This would be a major coup. I'm talking about a really good offensive line coordinator or offensive line coach for Willie Taggart. Who, I mean, just you talk about fitting perfectly with what he wants from Florida State. Again, a former player, this is home for him, returning to Florida State. So that's a great fit culturally. And then a guy who has worked, before being at Michigan under Harbaugh, he was at Indiana under Kevin Wilson running a spread offense with a lot of similarities to what Taggart does. So definitely some spread roots. And beyond that, before working for Wilson, he was at Michigan under Rich Rodriguez, running, again, a spread offense and so on. So you're looking at a guy who has a lot of chops, having coached in spread schemes and the pin and pull sweep stuff and all that, that Taggart will run. And, I love the pin and pull sweep stuff that he does. So experience coaching that stuff. And Harbaugh connections, coaching in the Harbaugh tree, the Harbaugh offense, which is the real root of what Taggart does. So even though Taggart runs a spread system, the roots very much are in Harbaugh's system overall. So you're getting a guy that can do both, has done both, has coached under Jim Harbaugh in the Harbaugh system, the pure Harbaugh system, and has coached in spread systems. This would be a massively good hire at the offensive line run game coordinator position with Greg Fry. And again, getting another Florida State former Florida State player on the roster, a guy who, you know, already knows Odell Higgins, already knows these guys. You know, he was there when Ron Dugans was there. This is a reunion for some of these guys. That would be a major hire. And at this point, that's who my money is on for Florida State to hire, is Greg Fry, the offensive line coach, offensive tackles coach, tight end coach, and run game coordinator at Michigan. So I think that's who we're going to see. So that puts the staff then at offensive line: Greg Fry, very good coach; Dante Pimpleton, very good coach at running back and a heavyweight recruiter. By the way, Fry is also a really good recruiter and recruits. He recruited the Cincinnati area and some of these other big time areas for Michigan. You've got exactly the kinds of recruiting ties with him that you want your offensive line coach to have. So if you're at Florida State, you need to reach out of Florida some to get some of those prospects, and you're going to get that with him. Tight ends coach Telly Lockett, already on the roster. Wide receivers coach Ron Dugans. Defensive line coach Odell Higgins. Edge coach, edge rushers and outside linebackers, Raymond Woody, another heavyweight recruiter. I mean, you look down this list: Pimpleton, Lockett, Dugans, Higgins, Woody, all heavyweight recruiters. Fry, a very good recruiter. That staff is going to be loaded in recruiting. And then it's just a matter of filling the two defensive backs coaches and the linebackers coach and the quarterbacks coach, which is still a little bit uncertain. I don't know exactly what direction they're going to go with that. And I've heard a lot of rumors about, you know, Briles and others that, you know, I'm skeptical about that. I haven't heard it from a good source, so, you know, we'll see what happens there. And I don't know what they're going to do with the linebackers coach or the two defensive backs coaches or the defensive coordinator position, which will be one of those guys as well. So, as I said, that is still a little bit uncertain, and there are a number of good names, like I mentioned, that are on that list. So a lot going on there, and a lot to be excited about, because already this staff is shaping up to have some tremendous recruiters, and particularly in the state of Florida, and some outstanding coaches as well who are going to be on here. As of right now, this staff is shaping up to be better than the staff that Jimbo Fisher would have been able to put together at Florida State, and that's saying a lot. So, yeah. Yeah, that is saying a lot. By the way, I should correct myself. I think I misspoke last podcast in mentioning Dante Pimpleton as having played high school ball in Florida. He's got deep Central Florida roots from where he's recruited that region for a long time, but he actually played high school ball, I believe in Kentucky. So I wanted to make sure I got that right, got that corrected here. But in any case, yeah, I was looking at too many different things while I was talking through the last podcast. All right, let's go ahead and shift gears to some other things that are worth bringing up at this moment. So been talking around in the program about with some other sources here. One of the things I was interested in was talking about how, you know, are they going to be able to get DeAndre Francois and some of these other guys that have been kind of culturally problematic on the team, you know, pulling in the wrong direction at times. You're going to be able to get those guys to buy in? Are you going to be able to more than that? Are you going to be able to keep them accountable? Are you going to be able to find ways to make sure that those guys understand the accountability that's going to be required? Because, you know, if you can get a guy like DeAndre to buy in and be accountable, then the sky's the limit, because that kid can play. He can be pretty good in this offense if he buys in, if he's going to be a leader like is expected. If he's going to be held accountable, then great. What I was told, and pretty close to a quote here, we're already taking care of it. We've addressed some things more than once already. This stuff it's being taken care of already. Okay, then. I was assured, yeah, we, you know, and I was, again, I know for a fact that the staff was able to identify the culture guys that they needed to make sure got turned around in that regard. And they had some help with that coming in. These are guys you need to make sure get bought in or, you know, move on. They were able to identify those guys coming in. And again, I'm told it's being taken care of. So that's a plus. Next thing is I was told there was some discussion of how things are going to be handled in terms of coaching style and all that, as was discussing offensive line and some other things, offensive line quarterbacks and other positions and so on, and how they're seeing some things. And what I was told is, in no uncertain terms, the dog cussing of players and then some of this stuff, I was told, quote, "That's not how we're going to do things here," end quote. And also, you wouldn't want someone to talk to you like that, right? So why would you talk to one of your players like that? So that's going to be a pretty stark difference from what we've seen, from what, you know, if you've stood outside of the Florida State practice, or if you've been in a Florida State practice over the last few years, you know what I'm talking about. But they, you know, basically, I was told, listen, Willie's style is going to be very different for the quarterbacks, for some others on this team. The way we're going to build this staff, our guys, we're not going to have guys who are just going to straight dog cuss kids. We're not going to have guys who are going to be screamers. You know, we'll hold guys accountable, but we're not just going to scream at kids. Our guys are not going to be screamers and dog cussers. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be technicians, and we're going to hold our guys accountable. You'll pay for what you do that deserves to be paid for. But basically was told that the emphasis is on wanting players to be free and confident in the way that they go about things, and they don't want the voice in their head to be negative. Which is, in terms of coaching style, that's much closer to mine. You know, I've never cussed a kid and will not do so. I don't believe in it. And you know, that's one place where I know Fisher and I always disagreed. You know, I believe in being very hard on guys, and my volume will go up. But I, you know, there's certain things, certain lines I won't cross that I know that the prior staff, you know, there were certain guys that would do that. I was told in no uncertain terms, that's not how we're going to do things here now. So some of you out there will probably very much appreciate this. For others, it probably doesn't make much difference. I was told, you know, you look at what they're looking for in terms of offensive line type of approach. Robbie Caldwell from Clemson was brought up as a great example of an offensive line coach who does things the way that they want. So worth noting. And again, I think Greg Fry is going to be able to do that. And you got to remember, Greg Fry was coached by the best Florida State offensive line coach in history. FSU hasn't had as good an offensive line coach as they had in that early 1990s era. They've never had one that good again. And we'll see if Greg Fry is as good as the guy who coached him. But if he is, wow, the talent's on the roster. Talent is on the roster. We'll see what they're able to do with it in terms of that. And again, I've talked about this in the past. Rick Trickett is a good offensive line coach, very good, and is widely respected for a reason. But he is more of an effort coach who's going to get after guys to make sure that they're stepping in unison and really giving great effort more than he was a technician coach, and they're bringing in more of a technician guy. So, and I think that'll be a nice, it'll build on what Trickett did, and in some ways they should be able to take a nice leap forward in that regard. And again, there's no guarantee you're going to replace Rick Trickett with a better coach. They might be doing that. So, yeah. All right. Got a little bit more time to get to recruiting. Got a lot of stuff to discuss there. First of all, discussed on the prior podcast, don't expect Florida State to land James Cook. I think he's still going to Georgia. Well, he did. And it was kind of a coin flip for Emory Jones, but I thought, you know, the balance would probably tip to Florida because Mullen had been recruiting him forever and, you know, the fit in that offense and comfort level there. And that's where he went, Emory Jones to Florida. But I did think Jaden Woodby had a real chance of going to Florida State. My sources were basically, they expected him to Florida State. And, you know, I'm always skeptical because of the California recruiting game, but they landed him. That is a serious get in 1 week of recruiting for Willie Taggart, and that sends a message. A five-star safety, number two safety in the country, according to the 247 composite. And, you know, this guy is going to be a kid that can step in and play and contribute significantly. He's an impact player. He can contribute as a freshman. Going to be an early enrollee and a bell cow for the class who's going to help recruit as well. Now, a couple things that are worth noting there. In talking to some sources around the program, one of the things that came up is that the prior staff, in the opinion of those who have been arriving on the with Taggart, the prior staff had started to recruit too much based on measurables, height, weight, 40 time, that sort of thing. And that led to some issues in terms of recruiting evaluation and so on. And quite frankly, that's the lazy way to recruit. A lot of people, it's easy to go and pick out, okay, this guy has the height, weight, and 40 time that I'm looking for, so that's going to be the guy I offer. That Urban Meyer got in trouble doing that at Florida. That's where Florida wound up. When they started being able to land whomever, he would go and get the fastest guy over maybe the guy that was a half step slower in testing or a step slower in testing, but was actually the better football player. What I was told is that Taggart and this new staff, they're putting an emphasis on recruiting football players. And the phrase that I got is that they want some guys with some dog in them. That's what they're looking for. They want, the measurables are a little less important. Yeah, they want certain traits and all that, that's fine. But they want to get back to recruiting guys with dog in them. What they're going to do is they're going to start with the film eval, and you know if the measurables don't quite get there, then they want to revisit and see in person if the guy maybe doesn't have some of the things that they want, and maybe at that point they won't offer. But a guy like Jaden Woodby, who ran a 4.8 at a camp, didn't get an offer from Florida State, and that may have been why. Well, they looked at it and went, yeah, yeah. Well, look at the tape. He don't run like a 4.8 kid. Sometimes a guy just doesn't have the right technique for the 4.8, for the 40 yet. Look at how he runs in pads against top-level California competition. Yeah, the kid has no speed issue. No speed issue. So they went after him. They got him. And you're going to see some other surprises coming, I'm told. There's some serious stuff on the way in terms of recruiting. The number one place that I expect a difference is at the wide receiver position. Taggart's early assessment of this, he's gotten a chance to see these guys in practice. They need an infusion of speed on the outside at Florida State. He's immediately identified that of, you know, again, Taggart's a guy he grew up watching Florida State. For him, he's looking at it going, you know, I don't see all those guys that can just break a game open on the outside. I don't see enough of those guys here. That's what they're trying to get. So that's one thing that's interesting. Secondly, I didn't know until yesterday that there's a real chance that Florida State could pull one or both of Devon Williams and Jalen Hall from California, two wide receiver prospects. Apparently, the relationships with Taggart and that Oregon staff, some of the guys that are recruiting them, are so good that the Florida State staff, that Taggart feels very good that they're going to have a chance to land one or both of those guys. Now, keep in mind, Devon Williams is a top five wide receiver prospect in the country. Jalen Hall is a top 10 guy, wide receiver prospect in the country. And those are both my opinion and the consensus 24/7 composite opinion. Both guys are in that range. Both guys are 6'4 plus and can move. So they're in the game. They're going to have a chance. They believe they can land one or both of those guys. You land one of those guys and this wide receiver recruiting group, because they're going to get Warren Thompson and they're going to get Antoine Green, who they love, by the way. They love both of those guys. They love Antoine Green a bunch. They're going to get both of those guys. And then you add a Devon Williams or a Jalen Hall or both. Then that's the best wide receiver group that they brought in a long time at Florida State. They're also in the game with Treshawn Harrison, kid from Seattle that they were the favorite for when they were at Oregon. So that's three guys that are top shelf prospects at wide receiver that weren't even on Florida State's board before. They're definitely on the board now. They're still keeping contact with Josh Moore, Jalen Waddle, Miles Battle, who was a Oregon commit, 6'4 wide receiver out of Texas. So this wide receiver class, I expect to be outstanding by the end of the cycle. Maybe the best wide receiver class in the country. Taggart's going to pull in some guys here, along with some help from Ron Dugans and some others who were helping him recruit at Oregon. They're going to be able to attract some of those guys. All that said, what that means is I don't expect DeMarcus Adams, the current commit from mainland, to be in the class. And he's another guy, by the way, whose offer was, as I understand it, and as they understand it, whose offer was mostly measurables-based. He was offered at Florida State's camp because he ran a 4.36. Ran a 4.340, he got offered. Well, you know, sometimes it's not as important that your guy runs a 4.3. The question is he the best wide receiver you can get? And that's actually, again, one of the places I've been very clear. Dawsey's a pretty good wide receivers coach. But in terms of recruiting and in terms of who they'd brought in at receiver, there were some issues. The kids that they've been able to land, that they'd gone after, they went after a lot of big, fast, raw athletes at wide receiver. Guys who came in needing coaching to play wide receiver. A guy that, if we can get this guy to play, if we can get this guy to learn how to play receiver, we got a potential first rounder. It's that kind of guy, rather than this kid is coming in as a polished wide receiver. They didn't get a whole lot of those. They didn't recruit a single Amari Cooper or Sammy Watkins or any of those guys. They didn't land any of those guys. Now, grant they offered those guys. They didn't land those guys. And they didn't have a whole lot of polished kids that they were recruiting there before. And I was straight up asked by one of my sources, why didn't the old staff recruit Jayshon Jones harder? Why didn't they go after him harder? A good example of exactly that. Really good football player, was dominant at the Florida State camp as a receiver, but he ran a 4.5. Shows a little bit about how this staff is going to recruit a little bit differently than the last staff did, at least once they got situated. Now, before that staff was in place, in terms of having won a national title and, you know, being able to recruit, you know, pick their prospects, they had to evaluate more carefully, and they couldn't always get the top speed guy or go off of measurables as much. So they had to recruit those football players more, and that's when they had their best hit rate. Well, that's going to be the emphasis of Taggart and his staff, it looks like, permanently. So that's a plus, real plus. Now, a couple other things. At quarterback, James Foster, now with Emory Jones off the board. James Foster is the primary target, of course. He is the primary target kid out of Alabama. He's maybe a notch below Emory Jones as a prospect, but a good thrower, makes good decisions, good, very good frame, quality arm, and all that. They're pulling out the stops. They're going to do what they need to do to try to land him. They're going to put a lot of attention on him. But Foster has other suitors. Alabama's now that they missed on Emory Jones, they're going to put their attention on Foster. LSU is putting their attention on Foster. So there's no guarantee that they get Foster, but they're going to definitely do everything they can to get him. Now, if they do need to offer another quarterback, and I expect them, they need to bring in one quarterback this class. The guy I would have my eye on is someone who's been under the radar, I think a very underrated prospect, who's a similar prospect physically and in terms of what he's able to do with his arm, very similar prospect to Foster, and in some ways, maybe a favorable comparison. I would have my eye on a kid named L. Julian Jordan from Detroit, Michigan, former Western Michigan commit, one of those guys that kind of flown under the radar up there, but if they're going to offer somebody other than Foster left in, you know, that is not already signed early and all that, if they're going to offer one of those guys, I would expect it to be, I think I would have my eye, my offer would be L. Julian Jordan. I know they're going to be reevaluating a number of kids, but that's the guy I would have my eye on. Again, I think Jordan is a better prospect than Michael Penix was by a good bit. I actually think, even though Penix, I think, was rated high, I think he's rated higher in the 24/7 composite than Jordan. I think Jordan is much closer to James Foster as a prospect than he is to Penix. Penix was not a take for Florida State, it turned out. That's something that I did have confirmed, that he went to Indiana because they weren't sure. He didn't have a committable offer from Florida State, and ultimately Indiana needed to be the choice. Jordan, I think, the L. Julian Jordan kid from Detroit, I think is a better prospect than Penix, and a guy that they might be worth giving him an offer. They certainly should give him attention, in my opinion, and keep that open as a clear option in case Foster decides to go elsewhere, because I don't think there's a whole lot of drop-off, if any, from Jordan to Foster. So that's another guy to keep your eye on. On the offensive line, if they do bring in Greg Fry, then I think that's going to open up some other possibilities in terms of the offensive line, but definitely a couple guys to keep your eye on. One would be Nicolas Petitfilet. I'm not exactly sure how he says it, whether, you know, they're French speaking or Creole speaking perhaps in that house, but top offensive line prospect in the state of Florida, a guy from the Tampa area that Florida State was not able to get in on previously, but they're going to pull out the stops for him down in the Tampa area, and they'll have a chance with him. I don't know how good of a chance because of how late in the game it is, but they were recruiting him to Oregon. They have some relationship with him. And depending on what happens in terms of the offensive line hire, again, if it's Fry, I think they'll have a chance at him. And that would be a huge pull. Top offensive tackle prospect in Florida, a guy that could potentially come in and play early. Another guy to keep your eye on for a potential new offer would be Dylan Wanham from Tucker, Georgia. He's a South Carolina lean. As the board expands a little bit, I think he may get an offer. And then another that may obviously they're going to keep their attention on William Barnes, who I still think winds up at either UNC, North Carolina, or Florida. But in any case, they're going to continue to recruit him. Justin Johnson, tackle from Pennsylvania, is a guy that they had committed at Oregon, but hasn't, to my knowledge, signed yet at Oregon. Is another guy that they'll probably go after since they had him committed at Oregon. And a few others. I've got my recruiting board posted, which is my best approximation in a lot of ways to what I, you know, it's the approximation in my view of what Florida State's looking at in terms of different possibilities of guys who haven't signed and so on. A few other decent offensive line prospects, good offensive line prospects on the board as they're looking at, you know, another guy that they could potentially offer, Rasheed Walker from Maryland, who I think is going to wind up staying in the DMV area. But we'll see in terms of that. Tyrone Sampson, another center prospect from Detroit, who projects as a decent player, a good player. So there are a number of places, depending on how many offensive linemen they want to take. They could potentially expand the board with some of those names. But like I said, my recruiting board is posted over at the unconqueredpodcast.com/recruiting. You can definitely visit what my thoughts are on the board in terms of recruiting and who's left. On the edge, and again, this is going to be a smaller class. I mean, Taggart was saying he thinks 16 to 18 is about how many scholarships they'll have. I think actually at the end of it, they'll wind up with between 18 and 20. So it's not an entirely full class, but I think they'll get enough guys that they'll need to make room for, you know, maybe two more. But depending on who they get, that's what they're going to do. And they're not going to expand the board just to expand the board and bring in bodies. So, you know, if you can land a Petit Ferret, then you do. But, you know, you don't necessarily just expand with bodies, you know, on the offensive line. They've got enough bodies on the roster to be able to do what they need to. They want to bring in quality bodies there. Same thing in terms of defensive prospects. They're gonna put some attention on Quay Walker, the edge player from Crisp County, trying to flip him from Bama. There's another guy to keep your eye on there, a guy from Cincinnati, especially again if you hire a guy like Fry, who recruited the Cincinnati area, a guy named Chris Oates, who is he's committed to or not committed, but he's favoring Kentucky at this point. A long edge rusher prospect there that could potentially be worth getting an offer to later. At DB, I still think they're going to sign a couple more at least. I still expect Bookie Radley-Hiles to be a guy that they go after hard and probably ends up in the class. Patrick Surtain is obviously the top target on the board, and they're going to go after him hard. Tyson Campbell, Surtain's teammate, who's also a top five corner in the country, is another guy. Kelvin Joseph. There's some big names that they're going to go after to fill out the defensive backboard. So they're in good shape, but I expect the wide receiver class to be as good as any in the country by the time it finishes. They'll probably add one more offensive lineman, another defensive lineman or two, and then maybe one or two more linebackers and two more defensive backs in this class. So there's a lot going on there. I do expect Isaiah Bolden to sign with Florida State today on Friday, so that would be one more. But a lot going on there in recruiting. So, man, just a lot of things to update there. let me see. Before I go, I'll dip into a couple of mailbag questions before moving into the weekend, and then I'll try to do another mailbag episode, a more mailbag-oriented episode here in probably the beginning of next week. Maybe a Christmas Day episode, I'm not sure, but I don't want to belabor this one too much longer. But I'll do a couple quick questions that pertain to this podcast. I got asked a question, a bold prediction for which big name recruit Taggart lands. Well, number one, he's already gotten one, would be. But I think he's going to land at least one more big name. And right now, my money would be on that big name being either Devon Williams or Jalen Hall at wide receiver. I think he's going to land one of those big fish at the wide receiver position. And those are guys that could come in and contribute almost immediately. And on my wide receiver board, I always have a distinction where you've got a guy that's an impact guy who could come in and actually play early. And there are very few of those nationally. That's two of them. Okay. So I think he's going to land one of those big name guys. I think there's a chance that they land one more big name defensive back. Oh, and I just got a message that Asante Samuel Jr. has signed with Florida State early, which was not really expected. He has gone ahead and made it official. So that's another confirmed kid in the class. That's a big deal. So yeah, good for Taggart to lock those guys down. You know, Samuel projects as a field corner, slot corner. And again, a guy that the measurables aren't all there, and the prior staff recruited him too, which tells you how good he is since the measurables aren't all there. But he is a dog, and that's what they're looking for. That's what Willie Taggart is looking for in that regard. A couple other things. Couple other questions. Let's see. What are your predictions on how high this recruiting class will end up in the rankings? Higher than UF. I still think the class winds up in the top 10 range with a very high average rating, despite fewer players being in the class. And yes, I do expect it to finish higher than UF, especially when you're looking at that average player rating. So yeah, top 10 at this point, they're not going to have enough bodies to finish in the top 5, as it turns out. So then possibility of Dave Aranda coming to Florida State and making, say, $2.3 million at Florida State. Not going to happen, people. First of all, he's got a significant buyout. Second of all, the assistant pool is $5.5 million. They're not going to spend half of that on one coach. So that's not going to happen. Let's see. Watching old Noel highlights. Be honest. Have you ever seen anything like Dalvin before? Dude is unreal. I remember seeing work done in others in person, but Dalvin was really next level. Will Cam come even close? Not the same style, but home run possibility each touch. Do make mention on a podcast. I do expect it's going to be. I think Cam is going to be in the same pantheon as Dalvin Cook before he leaves Florida State. A little different style, but yes, that kind of player. And in Taggart's offense, he's going to be unreal. Okay. One last thing. One last tidbit. I was told this week by a good source with how loaded the Florida State running back position is, expect to see three running backs on the field at times next year at once. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Think about some of the possibilities there that you're going to see, say, Cam Akers, Jaquez Patrick, and again, that's if Patrick stays. If not, Cam Akers, Amir Rasul, and Kalon LeBourne all on the field at once. One of them on jet sweep action, another with a dive action, and then another with, a pitch action or something like that. Or, you know, in the diamond formation, some of this stuff. You're going to see three running back formations with some of the talent they've got. And they're going to use guys like LeBourne and Zaquandre White in the slot some. They're going to move those guys around. Something I was definitely told to expect with how they're going to go about things. So, again, if you're one of those running backs, yeah, wow. You're going to be doing backflips about what they're about to do with you. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap there. A lot left to cover, but I don't want to go, 2 hours on this podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap here. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast, sponsored by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Definitely get in touch with Luis if you have any real estate needs in the greater Jacksonville area. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. On Seminole Sports Radio, I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.